Amen. Would you join with me in prayer? Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Are you listening to that voice? That voice, the voice that is calling. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Well, wisdom cries out in the streets. In the square, she raises her voice. Are you listening? There's a voice in Scripture that we read today. It's a strong public voice. It's a feminine voice. Her name is Lady Wisdom. She belongs to a tradition of biblical literature that informs the Christian faith and contributes to how we understand the movement of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit moves among the people. She is uncompromising. She is uncontrollable. She speaks the truth, especially perhaps when the truth is hard to hear. Her voice is sometimes convicting, sometimes furious, sometimes exasperated. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple, she says. Because I have called and you have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one heeded. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. This passage is a bit too timely for us. It hits a bit too close to home. And what's more remarkable is that nobody here chose it. It just came to us. Are you listening to that voice? Are you listening to that voice? I think of the urgent pleas of the governor, disaster relief agencies, and weather forecasters to evacuate the path of the storm. I heard over and over and over again the warning that there would be no help for those who did not evacuate. Are you listening to the voice? Are you listening to that voice? Maybe it is the angry voice of the earth that is said so much in heat waves and ice flows and hurricanes. Are you listening to the voice? Are you listening to that voice? To the neighbor who cries out for help, to those who are asking for acknowledgement, to the voices that come from the margins. It can be challenging to listen for the voice that is calling. Challenging because you have to cut through all the noise and listen for what really matters, for what really commands our attention. It felt last week as if we were all suspended in motion, at least here in Chapel Hill, watching and waiting for the storm to arrive. It moved so slowly, creeping down to 10 miles an hour as it approached the coast. And now I understand it's moving at 2 to 4 miles per hour across South Carolina. One person posted a meme on Facebook that said, "Waiting for a hurricane is like being stalked by a turtle." Several men gathered here on Tuesday night to scratch their chins over how to protect the building here from flood. We wound up acquiring more materials than we ultimately needed. That same night, Ian was temporarily stranded here by an empty tank of gas. With long lines, every gas station had run out and he couldn't make it back to Raleigh. On Wednesday, I persuaded myself that we could be facing days, weeks, months, who knows, without hot water. So I drove out to Cary at 11 o'clock at night, looking for propane for an old camp stove. I felt sure it would save us from the apocalypse. They were all sold out. This week we've all heeded the voice of Lady Wisdom, some in more prudent and clever ways than others. We are so fortunate in Chapel Hill that the brunt of Hurricane Florence spared us the worst of the damage. We've spent the week living in the shadow of this storm, and on our minds are all our neighbors to the east and to the south who have fared worse than we have. Truly, in recent days, we have experienced a whirlwind. We have been a people standing amidst the storm, and we feel that in a very literal sense. Scripture offers this image to us figuratively so many times. As we hear the shutters clapping against the house, and the rain beats a steady drum on the roof, and the rivers swell, even as we feel the strength of the storm, we know it's been highly unusual. Its approach to land was unpredictable. Its intensity was unsettling. We've been asking, what does all this mean? The voice of Lady Wisdom in Proverbs speaks to the whirlwind. She speaks to the storm, to the panic, to the calamity. She reflects all these ancient people who've been asking the same questions that we are asking in so many ways now. What do we make of all this bad news? What do these storms mean? The voice of Lady Wisdom is the collective product of a people who are curious about the ways of God. The voice of Lady Wisdom emerged throughout history as the Hebrews considered their own character and what it means for them to be faithful to God. When we read passages like this that carry a tone of accusation or invective, it's a sign that the people have been examining themselves. They feel convicted, and they're asking how they may have been living faithfully. So are you listening for the voice? For the voice that so many others throughout history have been listening for? It's as if the earth has a voice. It's as if the storm has a voice. What is it saying? I appreciate it when friends suggest readings for me to consider. I usually enjoy light and breezy and hopeful stories about the human spirit. So I want to thank Dan Vermeer for suggesting a dense book of essays on climate change called We're Doomed, Now What? Thanks, Dan. It was good storm reading this week. The author is this guy named Roy Scranton, who has become famous for his unsparing takes on politics and climate change. He belongs to a school of philosophers who believe that the earth has entered a new geologic age characterized by the rise of one species with the power to destroy the earth. And Scranton writes these books for two reasons. One is that we have not met the climate science with any efforts approximating the urgency required to save future generations, and we underestimate the tragic consequences of our inaction. Consequences that he says we will feel sooner than anyone cares to realize. So wake up, he says. This is the end of the world as we know it. Second, Scranton writes out of a profound sense of grief. He has children, and as someone who is reading the grim climate literature, he knows that the lifetime of his children will bring dramatic changes in temperature and changes in the world order. It's the grief of a father who can't protect his children or secure their future, and he worries about them because the evidence is strong that their lifetime will be harder than his. His writing is informed and it's emotional. His anger is a righteous anger. It tilts towards cynicism and bitterness. He's got too much information to be hopeful. His voice sounds in some ways a lot like the voice of Lady Wisdom in Scripture today. The pleas of climate scientists that sound so much like the pleas of a governor before the hurricane. Wake up, everybody. Get out of the way. There will be no help for you to come. And I know that these thoughts weigh heavily on all of us who are concerned about the future and who see storms like Florence as signs of more suffering to come. But the tradition of Lady Wisdom contains another thing in it. Hers is the voice that's asking not just what's happening, but what does it mean? So let us not miss the opportunity to reflect on ourselves and on the world. Lady Wisdom calls out. She has a voice. She stands at the busiest corner of the streets. Do we not hear? Do we not see? Let us join in the tradition of Lady Wisdom, not to avoid the disturbing questions that a moment like this raises in our hearts. For the ancient Hebrews stood with their eyes wide open. And when the whirlwind came, they did not merely lament the storm. They asked, what does the storm say about us? What does the calamity say about God? When you're standing in the middle of a storm, the only thing that can be said is that we are called to love each other, to meet needs where we see them, to offer what we can. In the aftermath of a disaster, there is no assigning blame, no I told you so's, only open hands and open hearts. But when we tend to suffering as we see suffering here and now, I often turn to that biblical character who saw so much suffering himself. I think of Job. And you may recall Job as the one who, in a short course of time, lost everything. His livelihood, his home and his possessions, his wife and his children. The afflictions grow in intensity, and they come closer and closer to his body until eventually he begins to lament the loss of his own health. And the book is framed as a series of arguments between Job and his friends. And all of them have to tell him that he must have done something wrong to deserve the calamity that has come. Do you not need to repent, they ask him? Shouldn't you seek forgiveness for something you must have done? Shouldn't you be spending your time praying to God, they say to Job. They all argue that there must be some explanation. But the end of the book features one of my favorite passages of Scripture. After many chapters of speculative argumentation between Job and his friends, the voice of God finally speaks, speaking louder than any of the other voices that come through the book. And Scripture says that the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. If you know this book, then maybe you'll remember that what follows is a long, self-righteous, sarcastic response to Job's lamentation. The moral of the book is that there are no easy answers to the problem of suffering. Job, Psalms, and Proverbs, these books, that all these passages that we've been reading come out of, Lady Wisdom herself, they all come from a genre of biblical literature called wisdom books. And the problem with the wisdom books is they don't actually offer any answers, contrary to what their name may suggest. They say to keep listening. They say to keep searching. They say to keep loving. They say to keep living with open hands and open hearts. The voice of Lady Wisdom is surely calling from the most public spaces in town. She may even speak in the whirlwind. Amen.